what's the best interest of the legislature. It's what's the best interest of our children in the state. And I'm, you know, amazed and grateful, you know, for the awakening, not just, you know, for myself, but the rest of the state, the
yes.
parents.
Yes. Well, Matt, thank you so much for joining us on KBOO. It's been great to have you on. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on and tell folks what's been happening. I wish you the best, and we'll be following what happens there.
Alrighty, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Of course. I also want to quickly thank our engineer, Mike. Thank you, audience, for tuning in tonight. This is Steven Siegel. You've been listening to Labor Radio. Tune in next Monday and every Monday at 6 to catch another Labor Radio show.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
KBOO hosts a monthly film series at the Clinton Street Theater called KBOO at the Clinton. This month, we'll screen the film The Real Dirt on Farmer John on Thursday, April 12th at 7 p.m. The Real Dirt on Farmer John is a documentary about a maverick Midwestern farmer amidst a failing economy and heralds a resurrection of farming in America. Filmmaker Taggart Siegel will be in attendance, and there will be a Q&A after the film. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next is Prison Pipeline.
Baby, you understand me now.
Hi, greetings and welcome to Prison Pipeline. I'm your host, Adam Carpinelli. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. We're here with two very special guests from the community this evening, and we are with Paul Henry Grice III.
Yes, yes.
How you doing?
I'm good, man.
Going
happy
on?
And happy, man. What's
right.
going
on? Good, man. We're getting some good selfies going on.
No, it's live. We live right
oh,
now.
Oh, we're live.
We live
oh,
in
wow.
the direct, baby.
Okay. God, now I'm even more nervous. And Mr. Shane Green, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Great. Thanks, y'all, for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Anytime. So, now you are the executive director, Paul, of Liberation Literacy.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess that's a title. I'm just a leader, man. I'm a leader just like anybody else that's involved, man. So, but yes, that would be a title that I currently have.
Well, can you tell us more about the organization and what you do?
Oh, yeah, no problem. LibLit is something that's unique to everybody. You know, I'm pretty sure that Shane here can tell you a little bit about it. Shane, tell them what LibLit means to you, man.
Well, Liberation Literacy is a social and racial justice reading group that started at our Columbia River Correctional Institution here in Portland, in North Portland. And what it does is we read it was a group that started in October of 2016 by Dr. Garrett Felber, who is a research fellow at Harvard University. And he's a—
Shout out to Garrett.
Yeah, of course. And he has his doctorate in African American studies in history, and he started a racial justice reading group where we read all of us read a common book and discussed it every week on Wednesdays. And the group still goes on Wednesdays in Columbia River Correctional Institution, and we have a monthly meeting for those that are released, We have an outside group that meets once a month at Yale Union, which is on Southeast 10th, 800 Southeast 10th, and it meets every first Sunday of the month.
Yeah, we'll be meeting May 6th. If anybody want to come, May 6th, 3 o'clock.
All right, and we'll mention that again before we finish.
I got you.
Great. Anything else you want to say about the organization?
Most definitely, man. Lib-Lit, man. It started out as something that wasn't planned, if that makes sense. Like when we first came into this was just a class that was offered at Columbia River, and we turned that into a family. You know, because while you're incarcerated, not too many people show up for you. You know, and I'm not knocking anybody, but what I'm saying is, for somebody to come in every week, mm-hmm. every week and invest in you and see you as a person, that means something. Yeah, you know, so we became a family. And then after we became a family, we became a movement, man. And now we have newsletters. Now we, you know, go around and try to incorporate the entire community into knowing what mass incarceration is. And what we really do is we fight oppression. We learn about what oppression is so that we learn how to fight it. So that's really a basis of what we do. And we give a voice to the voiceless.
And it sounds like your perspective is also very national, or maybe even international, but definitely national. You were talking about some conferences that you recently attended. You mentioned the project even came out of a kind of Harvard endeavor, but you were recently back at Harvard for the, was it Beyond the Gates conference, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, can you talk about what that entailed?
Yeah, well, the Beyond the Gates conference was on March 5th through 7th, and it was at Harvard University, and the first night was on March 5th was Second Chances, Life After Prison, and on March 6th was The Past and Future of Prison Education at Harvard. And what Harvard is endeavoring to do, and what the organizers, Elizabeth Hinton, who is an associate professor of African Studies at Harvard, and Garrett Felber, they organized this event so that they could try to get a prison education program in the Massachusetts state prisons that Harvard would be behind. Mm-hmm. And so it was a really great conference. It was a very powerful, they had national speakers, and it was just a really great experience.
Got you. And also, that's one of the events that I spoke at. I actually got an opportunity to go on stage and speak in front of some deans and the big wigs. Huh? Right. Is that what they call them? The big wigs. But
definitely one good way to describe them.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I didn't know what else to say. I didn't. But, man, I got a chance to go up there and speak, and that was a different experience in itself. Like, when you just picture yourself going into a situation like that, I felt like a zoo animal when I got to Cambridge. Mm-hmm. I was like, what the heck, man? This is a new experience, to say the least, because everybody that was there looked at me as if I didn't fit in or mm-hmm. that I didn't belong. We went to the grocery store, and I tried to buy some water, and the woman at the cash register was like, hey, can you just put the money on the counter? Mm. I was like, man, I'm ready to leave, man. I'm ready to leave. But we just had a purpose, man. We have a purpose to go there and love and to show them that not everybody that is incarcerated hates you. Not everybody mm-hmm. that has been locked up cannot come home and be effective. And that was our purpose, you know, to go there and change people's perspective and let them understand that we're not animals, and that there is something that happens while being incarcerated that truly can be for the better if used wisely. Mm-hmm. But so we went there, and when I got off the stage, man, we got to speak with Henry Louis Gates III. We got to mm-hmm. speak with Esperanza Spalding, Carnell West, Khalil Muhammad. We made a lot of good contacts down there, man. It was a beautiful, beautiful experience. It didn't start out too well, though. I'm gonna be honest mm-hmm. with you.
And it got better.
It got better
over time.
It got better, man. And shout out to Harvard, man. Y'all keep doing what you're doing.
And then after that was when you went to, because that was Beyond the Gates at Harvard, then Beyond the Bars, right? Was it Columbia?
Yeah, well, Columbia, the Beyond the Bars conference was first, and that was mm-hmm. in...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was at Columbia University, and we were at that first, and it was March 1st through 4th, and it was Beyond the Bars, Closing Jails and Prison, and it's an annual conference. Mm-hmm. This is the 8th annual conference at Columbia University, and it was put on by the School of Social Work, mm-hmm. and there were many prison abolitionists and national figures that spoke there. It was also very informative and very illuminating. It was just really a precious mm-hmm. experience to have for us all.
Yeah. So you're doing a lot of networking.
Yes.
You're all going inside, and you have this beautiful, and I'm holding it right now. Of course, anybody listening can't physically see it. This amazing
not yet
newsletter.
There we go.
Maybe about 10 pages here, the cover, just to tell our listeners, Liberation Literacy Newsletter, Volume 1, Issue 2 here, 2018, and We Are the Leaders We've Been Waiting For is the title for this, and there's an amazing piece of art that you, maybe you can tell us more about.
Yeah, no
somebody,
problem.
Person who drew this, but you see Harriet Tubman, Asada Shakur, and Sitting Bull all together. So this is just an amazing piece. Great job with the cover. Tell us about the paper and all this great artwork that's in here too.
Man, no problem at all, man. So a newsletter. When I said that we became a movement, am I in there now? There we go. Now I'm back in there. We in the game. The newsletter. We started out as just reading books and then putting together just examples in a newsletter that was issued to the prisoners at CRCI mm-hmm. only. And then we understood our power. Mm-hmm. Myself and Henrik, we did the first one. We did a book review mm-hmm. and they edited, like they took out like a whole paragraph mm-hmm. of what we did. So they censored what we were saying. So then it was like, oh, I think we own something. Then it became an idea for all of us to put together a newsletter. Mm-hmm. So at that time, we all collectively wrote about our experience, our trials, tribulations, victories, and just exactly what's going on while being incarcerated. Because if you understand that mass incarceration is just not just to keep people inside, but it's also to keep people from getting in. Because there's a lot of things that's going on with your tax dollars that I think that you wouldn't be too proud to be saying that you were paying taxes for, man. It's not okay. But within that concept, we created a newsletter. And now that that gave us a vehicle and an opportunity to be heard. A lot of people go to prison or be incarcerated and then they get forgotten about, you know, honestly.
Yeah.
Whether it be from family or just from society, period. And those people seem not to have that value anymore. So what we do now and what we did back then is we create a vehicle for people to use while they're in there to still have value, to still be heard, to still have purpose. Not only do you have a newsletter put front to back together by people that are incarcerated, but just like you said about the artwork, we have gentlemen now that can say, hey, I was part of Liberation Literacy. We're in a newsletter.
Right.
I provided art for that. So it's giving them a vehicle and giving them a standing stone when they come home. Mm-hmm. Like, I do this. Or, you know, I have an example of having work and credibility. So it's also to give somebody a stepping stone when they get home, man, mm-hmm. to let them know that you can be effective. So that's what it is, too, man. And shout out to anybody that needs a copy, Paul A.G. Grice III on Facebook, or if we have a Liberation Literacy page, get at me, man, and I'll give you a newsletter. I got you. Well, we take donations too, just to let you know. Huh? Talk to me.
So one thing I wanted to ask about with the newsletter was, sounds like when you started off that you had some little complication.
Most definitely.
With the editing, right? And so we're talking about what was going on inside then for the publication.
Exactly.
Since then, have things smoothed out or gelled out a little bit where it's a little more accepted inside where the facility's not kind of, you know, maybe freaking out about it as much, or is there still kind of a
no? They don't. Yeah. nobody that works for DLC. I'm not gonna say anybody. Let me not generalize that. But the experiences that I had mm-hmm. are saying that DLC wants to be hush hush about what's going on inside of prisons, mm-hmm. and we are taking that and making people understand like what's going on. So yeah, there's a lot of complications that we still come across. There's mm-hmm. still a lot of editing and censorship that happens. There's one situation that we have a young man named Josh, man. He's been riding with us, man, since the beginning. And mm-hmm. he's going through his medical issues right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, collectively, we understand that by him putting his story in here would actually get this whole newsletter shut down for this issue. Because what he's talking about is the difficulties with having a medical issue mm-hmm. that is severe and not getting the treatment that is sufficient. You know what I'm saying? And shout out to Josh. Shout out to his family, man. Peace and prosperity. We praying for you. We understand the struggle. And we're going to do everything that we can to make sure that you all right and that you come home. You important and you have value. So that's what we're talking about. Those are the vehicles and obstacles we go against.
Sure. And then as far as the model here, once it's put together, then, of course, there's copies you make on the outside and the community can check it out or what have you. Then from there, is it something that gets mailed in or what's the process for that for prisoners to be able to access the publication?
Okay, so what we do with that, man, right now we offering this class at CRCI, mm-hmm. but we are welcome to anybody that's incarcerated or anybody that is affected by incarceration mm-hmm. to write about it. We have an email I'll tell you guys at the end, or give me one second. Well, we'll tell you at the end to to just send it in to us, man. Mm-hmm. And we got you. There's a editing process by people that are incarcerated. So I can't just say like, if you send me something, I'm gonna put it in, because at the end of the day, it's by those people that are incarcerated. So we're reaching out to Coffee Creek right now, mm-hmm. to get some support and some work from those ladies, and so to be in the next issue. Mm-hmm. So we're branching out, and we welcome all submissions. And what we do like that is basically like, if you are incarcerated right now, if you know somebody that's incarcerated that would like to read, or not to read, but to like to make a submission to Liberation mm-hmm. Literacy, just contact us on our Gmail account and we'll make that happen. You know, but it really comes from the people that are inside. So
right. And whereas, you know, in most cases, right, people inside are not largely online.
Exactly.
On social media, this, not, I mean, of course it's print media, but in a way it also kind of, it's kind of like the blog of
exactly.
of today, right? Where people, because then people can dialogue, right? Kind of get their stuff out, and then other people can read it. Maybe they think, have an idea about what somebody wrote, and then they
exactly
maybe write a piece that kind of riffs off that or something like that.
Exactly. That's what I was saying, like about me being just a person like that, a person of contact. Mm-hmm. So I would get the submission. And then once I get the submission, I will give it to the fellows that are inside right now, mm-hmm. and they will put it in and navigate it in a way that it can fit. And not to say that there's some submissions that didn't make it, but we really honestly try to make sure that we get every submission that we get to be published. Like, mm-hmm. everybody has value in this, man. So that's crucial. Like, if you guys can be that catalyst, or if you guys have people that are incarcerated and that are want to be heard, mm-hmm. we got you.
Right, and we should give a shout out to our printing people, the Independent Publishing Resource Center.
There we go.
They give us a salute. Yeah.
Right on. For folks just tuning in, you're listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. We're here with Paul Grice III and Mr. Shane Green with Liberation Literacy. And we're talking about this wonderful newsletter, but there's so many other things to talk about as well. And you have community events, and of course, we'll talk again about when you have the next public meeting, people can get involved and whatnot. So, got a couple of things on the list here. There's a backpack drive.
Yeah.
So what's up with the backpack drive?
Well, the backpack drive is an effort that we're doing, because when people are released from prison, they mm-hmm. usually get, if their families don't provide them with clothing or you know, resources when they get out, they have nothing. Mm-hmm. They just give you a sweatsuit or like what they call like hospital scrubs. And mm-hmm. and a plastic bag or a paper bag, and you just walk out like that. So what we want to do is provide people who are being released from prison with a backpack with supplies like mm-hmm. hygiene supplies, you know, and things like that, so that they have something to, you know, to carry with them out.
Mm-hmm. Care kit.
Kind of like a care package. Right.
Yeah, and just something to add to that, man. When I got out, I think I got some clothes donated to me, mm-hmm. And you didn't really know what you needed when you got out. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was one of those things that that took time to understand. So being out and being in that position, it helps you not feel forgotten about, or like, oh, okay, this transition is a little bit easier, because the backpack was one of my greatest utensils when I came home, because I wasn't driving. You know, I didn't have a bike. So everything that I had and owned, not even owned, but more of the things that I needed to be able to go to work, to go see my kids, to go mm-hmm. check in to the PO, and all these paperwork and all these documents that I have, a backpack was crucial. So we're able to provide that for somebody now. And I think that just that helping hand would just keep somebody motivated to keep going. Mm-hmm. So right now, man, that's a big movement that we want to invest in. And anybody that would like to donate to that, you can go to our Weebly account, our Weebly website, or you can contact us on Facebook or on our Gmail account. And just contact us, man, and we'll make sure that your donations get in the hands of somebody that just came home, man, to make them feel loved. That's important.
Great. And then there's also the Family Fun Day.
Yeah, Fun Day. Hey, I know what I was.
Fun.
I'm also a father, man. I'm a father, and I know how it feels to be incarcerated and to be wanting to do more for your family, for your children, and take a little burden off of them. So the Family Fun Day is something that I'm still in a process of putting together, and I'm looking for partners, man. If you guys are out there and you guys want to be able to help out or put it together, man, I'm down to hear about anything. I'm down to work with you guys. Mm-hmm. What it really is that a Family Fun Day is a day where people that are incarcerated, fathers, uncles, cousins, whatever, if they send me a name of a child, then that child would be able to come to this event. And that's the opening up for the first ones. But then we're gonna try to service up to like 50 kids, mm-hmm. so that they can get their face painted, so that they can get books, writing material, and things to push them through the summer to know that they are loved, man. Just have a day of fellowship, really, you know, because as a father, you want to do more. So it's just a day to get your kids to be loved on and let them know that it comes from you. Mm-hmm. You know, if that makes sense, because you always want to be a part of that or take that burden off. So just a day, summer, say, hey, man, I plugged you guys in. Go meet them at the location, and the kids get in free, and they'll be able to leave with a little love, man.
Where's that at as far as...
I'm still in the works of planning. I don't have it yet, man. We're still working on it.
All right, so that's the next project.
That's the next project I'm working on, man, is a family fun day.
So that's an opportunity for people to get involved.
Exactly. If you want to get involved, contact me, man.
Right on.
I got you.
Do you want to say more about the event?
No, because we're just getting it started, so...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What about all the networking you've been doing with these kind of events and you know, being on radio shows and going to the facility and all this networking going on? So you're working with a lot of different people, a lot of different partners. Can you talk about kind of what that network is looking like, and then maybe also what's your kind of larger vision to kind of see where that can go? Because I know you mentioned kind of really
most definitely
establishing a national, you know, kind of model for
Let's first off thank you, Adam. Adam, thank you, brother.
Thank you for keeping us in there, man.
We appreciate you, man. Adam's a great guy, man. He reached out to us and he made it happen, man. So shout out to Adam. Shout out to K Boo. They are really part of the reason why we are going to move to that next level, because people are starting to get heard about. People are starting to tune in. People are starting to understand that there is somebody like me, and there is something that I can do about it. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate the Prison Pipeline show. This is going to be effective, and I'm going to get on tune now and be able to push forward with the movement. We were on there last year, I think, too. Mm-hmm. I forgot the lady's name, but we've been in contact with Prison Pipeline for a minute.
Yeah, we're gonna be back on soon.
Yeah, I'm gonna be there. I'm gonna be there. We're gonna be there. Time. But we do have some partners, man. Let me give we worked with Scotty's Pizza. Let me Scotty's Pizza. Shout out to you, Jeff Todd with All in One. He got us some Live Lit shirts, and we'll be bringing out shirts later. And those shirts are going to be for order too. If you guys want to support that cause, Chad and German at 50 Licks. We appreciate you all the donations, all the work that you guys put in. Esperanza Spalding. SP from the town, man. Shout out.
I remember knowing her at you know, PSU, just back in the day, you know, over at Lincoln Hall.
Man,
know?
I'm trying to tell you, she's an amazing young lady, man.
Yeah, and bass player.
Elizabeth Ross, Elsa and Garrett over there at Harvard, Royal Harris with the county, Ken, Chuck, Lee, Sean, Alonzo at BPI, Alan Bell with Hennins. Noni and Dion over there with the Beam program. Addie, shout out to Addie. also, Larry Turner, Nate Roberts, Mr. Brown with the AAP program. Those are just a few that we have worked with while being home. And we really want to start working with the Oregon Youth Department. So if we have any connections there, like you said you had some, man, we want to be able to get in there. And Coffee Creek, we're going to start another endeavor where we can get into Coffee Creek and start utilizing that. Our goal really right now is to get a cafe and a bookstore.
Oh, okay.
So that we can get that started and be called the Freedom Library. So we have a Freedom Library at CRCI right now, which is over 650 books that we brought in. While you're incarcerated, books are your Google. You know, books are your source of information. And every book that I've been to that I have had while being incarcerated was used and old. Like, it took for family to send it in for it to be new or for me to gain anything of knowledge that was relevant. So we got over. Shout out to Kathleen Gable. You know, they put together a book drive that was immaculate. You know, and it was vital to the success of myself and others right now to be able to move forward. So we're really about putting books in people's hands to make a difference. You know, that's the way that I believe that we can fight oppression, is through literacy and through writing, through education. Because other than that, we really don't stand a chance, to be honest with you.
Right.
So that's the goal.
Yeah, and we also have a couple of other partners, Cinema Project.
Oh, there we go.
The Hollywood Theater, and also the Clinton Street Theater, where
there
we have showed some of our film fundraisers. Yeah. You know, and Yale Union.
There we go.
We is where we have our monthly meeting, because we have an outside meeting. We have an inside meeting every Wednesday in the prison, and once a month, on the first Sunday of the month, and it'll be May 6th. We have a monthly meeting at Yale Union, which is at 800 Southeast 10th. Here in Southeast Portland.
All right. And people can join that.
Yes.
And just come in.
on that note too, yeah. I mean, of course people come to the meeting, get more involved, find out, but can you talk a little bit about, I mean, what are some of the things like day to day, you know, as people get involved with this work that whether they're, you know, formerly incarcerated, friends and family members of incarcerated persons, mm-hmm. or maybe just, I'll use the word, you know, kind of allies or advocates,
yeah.
on the outside that, you know, don't maybe come from that background but want to do some work. So, and I mean, of course you've talked about the projects, but what are some of the day-to-day, you know, workings with this, and what can people do?
Well, if people want to get involved with Liberation Literacy, whether in our outside group or the inside group, what we do is we ask them first to come to our outside group meeting, mm-hmm. and to get acquainted with our day-to-day, you know, what it is we do. Mm-hmm. We read certain books, we read certain articles on racial or social justice issues, and this gives them a feel. And then there's a process of, you know, just kind of getting acquainted with what we do. And then there's a screening process for them to go into the prison, mm-hmm. if they want, because we've had students from Reed College. We have Anoop Mapuri, who's a professor at Portland State that mm-hmm. facilitates our classes. And so we have these different partners and people. We have people from the Unitarian Church.
Yeah.
We have many different people who come from the outside who go onto the mm-hmm. inside. And if people wanted to go through that process, we could, you know, kind of acclimate them, you know, through the outside group first.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. And also, just to add to that, we also have a movie night once a month,
okay.
that's at Columbia River Correctional Institution. So there's a prison in Portland. A lot of people like know that, but I'm pretty sure if you tune into the show that you would know that. Right, being the prison pipeline. I'm just saying. So
we hope so.
Yeah, well, I hope so. So if not, if you don't know now, you know. Okay,
yeah,
I got
exactly.
you. Don't worry about it now. I got him now. But even with that, man, we use that as a vehicle to network and to give like a kind of a introduction into what Liblit is.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be a movie night once a month. It's from Cinema Projects. They help us out a lot with that. So you would be able to come inside of a prison, sit down with a couple brothers that are currently locked up, and watch a movie and then have a discussion. And that blows some people's mind, because sometimes you have that perception of a man being like an animal, like, oh yeah, he's gonna be in there buff and ready to tear your head off. And no, you can have a informative conversation with somebody that is incarcerated and change your life. Mm-hmm. Likewise, when I came to that, I've met people there that blow my mind away. It, like, you are treated as a number for so long that when you got somebody that come in there and just hug you and say, hey, Paul, how are you doing? It changes your life. It changes your trajectory once you get out, because you know that there is a difference. You know that there are people that have your back, and you know that there is a community that is waiting for you. Mm-hmm. That's big. So if you want to be a part of that, we have contact information. So liberation.literacy@gmail.com. We have a Facebook page, Liberation Literacy. Just go on there, like the page, and you can send us a message. And you can call me. You just call me flat out, 503-572-6736. Just call me, man, and I will get you connected with anything that you want to do to be able to be effective with Liberation Literacy. And likewise, we are looking for partners right now to be more effective, mm-hmm. to be able to reach people that we haven't reached. Like, we haven't got to Two Rivers. We haven't got to OSP. We haven't got to OSCI. We haven't got to Snake River. And these are the people that are also needing to be heard about. So mm-hmm. if you have contact in those areas or with those institutions, call me, man. Write me, whatever it is. Again, liberation.literacy@gmail.com. And we're going to make this happen. You know, we're here. We're frontline. We're part of the Vanguard Party to making the change. We're trying to bust this thing down, man.
Right
for real. We're ready.
Do you want to say some more about the organization? Any closing comments?
Well, some of the books that we've read, you know, we, like I said, we read books every month, and we've read books by Manning Marable, Malcolm X, Life of Reinvention.
Yeah.
We've also Skyped with some of the authors.
Mm-hmm.
The Next American Revolution, Sustainable Activism in the 21st Century by Grace Lee Boggs and Scott Kursky. And so we have different books that we read, and we've Skyped with some of the authors. And this is what we do. And we educate people so that they can become more socially aware of what they've been going through in prison, the war on drugs, mass incarceration. We've read many books, like Elizabeth Hinton's book, From the War on Poverty to the War on Crime. And these are books that helped.
Well, yeah, we got one more minute left, man. I wanted to give a shout out. We do read those books, Shang. Thank you for bringing that to the attention. We are an organization that focuses on literacy and mm-hmm. education. So let that be known, Adam. We thank you again.
Of course.
And we want to shout out. We want to shout out everybody that's locked up right now that's listening to us, man. You're not alone. I was there. We was there. And you can get out and do something.
That's
Don't
right.
do not be held victim to somebody else's limitations. We will be great. You will not be forgotten about, and you will be loved when you come home. I need y'all to know that, man. It's not over yet. Keep fighting. Keep pushing. Don't give up. I got you. Huh? Don't be mad at me. Be happy with me. Huh? Let's do it.
Liberation Literacy. Look it up. It'll come right up when you Google it and or Facebook page exactly. and all that and get in touch with Paul. So you've been listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Listen to some previous Prison Pipeline programs at KBOO.FM/Prison Pipeline. Like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. Again, thanks to our amazing guests. Thanks for our amazing...
up.
Amazing engineer wizard here, Mr. Fictalis, Michael Fictalis. And
Mike,
thank you
shout out,
for
man.
Tuning in. All right, free them all. We'll see you next week.
Put your L's up.
Thanks.
KBOO Community Radio holds an open meeting concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The Program Advisory Committee meets the second Tuesday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-